If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Romans chapter 12 this morning. So if you'd like to turn there or in the pews in front of you, they're right there in front of you. So Romans chapter 12. Good morning, family. It's good to see you all here. Welcome. And please know that we're here for you. I'm glad you're here, whatever that means. You're here, can be as long as you want to be here, however you want to join us, call it a time of respite, whatever. But we love you, and we've been praying for you guys, and we still are. So you're our family, you're our neighbors, and it's been hard, and we've been praying with you along the way. So please know that. I saw Gene at the football game last night. Tuscola lost, and he was there, and he mentioned might see some faces this morning. So just know that he's praying for you guys as well. So I'd like to start by just saying this. Cancer stinks.
Amen.
It's hard. If I had that one magic wish that could solve any problem in the world, what would it be? Cancer stinks. It was good visit with my brother. We're going to talk about that more this morning, but I just wanted to get that off my heart. It's not good. So let's start with a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your blessings. There's so many of them. We got up this morning. We have our health. We have our church family to be here with, and we have our friends and our neighbors, and we have places to worship, as Carrie said this morning. Lord, let the word speak deeply to our spirits this morning. Let the truth just go deep into those places where there's areas that need to be opened up and healed. Lord, we ask for your spirit to just guide us and direct us, discipline us if we need it, Lord, and correct us in those areas where we need correction. But most of all, Lord, we just ask that you love us and care for us and protect us. Watch over us as we take the steps through life every day. And your truth is that light onto our feet. And we just appreciate that you've defined the path for all of us. Lord, let us just be blessed in that journey. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Do you remember a ad on TV? I hate to say how long it is. It's probably been 20 years. And the catchphrase in the ad was, "We leave the lights on." Remember that one? Okay. Well, Carrie and I got to stay at some motels for the last weekend, and I wanted to kind of share that a little bit with you because it has a bearing on our message today. So we head down there. We're thinking, okay, we're going to make it a short, quick weekend. My brother is on hospice, and we wanted to maybe have a chance to say goodbye to him and just, you know, spend some time. And North Carolina is not like down the street, so took some time off from work, both of us did, and we did a Friday to Monday turnaround trip, and it was good. And I always said, just to laugh a little bit further about we're still married, as a pastor, I always tell the couples that I counsel that if you can hang wallpaper together and you can trailer a boat, your marriage will probably last. Well, I'm going to add a third category, which is seat time in a car of greater than 10 hours. If you can survive that, you're going to make it. We did good, honey, so it was good. But in that seat time, we had a lot of time to talk and plan, and this might sound like I'm thinking it's a negative, but it was a good thing. We kind of went down unprepared, and I've talked from the pulpit about whether you were one of those really efficient, detailed planners where you get everything nailed out. Do you remember when we used to print out Google Maps for our trips? We would have volumes of notes and instructions on turn left, turn right. Now you just got the stinking phones, right? And some of us have the navigation of the computer on our cars where it talks to you while you're driving. So, and I love the recalculating.
Why are you looking at me when you say that?
I just was wanting you to affirm that we heard that. So, you know, we had to take some directional changes and you know, left is left and right is right. And it was just good. But in the process of doing that, we stayed at three hotels, three different hotels, over the weekend, and two of them were from the same company and one was not. One of the things we missed was we went down on a Friday, and what happens on weekends usually in big cities around our country on Sunday mornings or Sunday afternoons? Football games. So we're going to North Carolina. The Carolina Panthers are there. So there's a big football game on Sunday. Well, guess what happens on Saturdays, Kenny? What happens at college towns on Saturday? Football games. So on Friday, we're heading down. We go right down I-75, right through Knoxville. Big university down there, big football game. And guess what? All the hotels are done. They've turned the lights out. No, I get it. We tried calling. And to be honest with you, we're a little picky on our places where we stay. I've stayed at Motel 6s. I've stayed at La Quinta's. I've been in the military. I've been places where, you know, we probably ought not to go. But for my wife and I, we kind of have a little standard, and we started calling all those first, and of course on your phone they've got the now with GPS you put your route in and it tells you where all the places are on each exit where you're going. So we're starting to call down the list and nope, full. Mary and Joseph. Oh, I hadn't thought of that. So you tied a Christmas thing in here, okay? All right, good. All right.
No room at the end.
Well, you weren't pregnant. That's even a bigger miracle right there. I'm glad. So that would have been a big super shock. See what you started. So we get down into Knoxville area, and Carrie makes a connection with the place, and they had openings. In fact, it was cheaper. It was a name brand, and we pull in and we get into this hotel and we get the room and there's a lot of people coming in like late, and we get the room key and these are the hotels that have the doors on the outside, so you're walking on the balconies and stuff, and so we get into the room and I open the door and the very first thing I see is a jacuzzi bathtub that's in the corner that takes up, it's like there's no beds in there.
Remember, I'm sitting up here today. I'm not downstairs.
I thought I walked into the hotel or the honeymoon suite. You know, I could imagine champagne glasses and bubbles and music and disco balls and all that kind of stuff. And I'm going, where's the beds? Carrie, what did you get us? We missed the exit on this place, okay? Well, what this was back-to-back rooms. I've never seen this before. I've had side-to-side rooms, but this is a back-to-back room. There's an outdoor entrance, and then there's an indoor side. And the indoor side was where the pool was and protected. But they had taken two rooms and combined them into one. So we just happened to come into the jacuzzi end of the suite. And it was pretty impressive. I mean, one of those triangular, I mean, it had jets in the side. We didn't use it. It was late. we weren't on our honeymoon. I probably would have killed myself getting into there, slipping and falling. But that was one night. But they left the lights on that night for us. And it was okay. It was good. It was different. It was a little bit noisy. There was quite a crowd in there, and it was a busy part of town. So that was the first one. The other two nights, we stayed at the same brand hotel, and we had planned for this one, and Carrie had made arrangements. It was a little bit pricey, but it was right where we needed to go. And then we connected with, on our route out, we had to figure out where we're going to stay and land on the third night, and we chose the same brand of hotel and set it all up. But here's what I want to tell you about. When you walk into the room, these were nice rooms. One was a queen size, one was a king size, nice suites. The TV that, you know, faces the bed, big screen TV, had a message on it. Welcome, Carrie. In both those places, you know. So you book the reservation. They're trying to be hospitable. They're trying to be welcoming. They're trying to tell us they've left the lights on, right? So they're trying to market and make it feel friendly and warm and welcoming. I thought that was pretty cool. This hotel chain also had the 24-hour coffee pots going. That got me right there. You know, if I want a cup of coffee, I'm going down to get one. And then, Stan, they have home-baked warm cookies. Oh, my gosh. So you got cookies, and then the next morning, which I'm not a breakfast guy, they have breakfast in there. It's all part of the deal. And it's like, gosh, you could like live here. You know, you kind of hang out here. It was nice. And you pay for it, of course. But all that to say this, hospitality is important to these businesses, right? How many of you have booked a hotel recently where one of the things, if you check the reviews, you're looking for quality stays? You want people to say it's friendly, it's safe, it's, and of course, cost is important too. You know, there's that part of me.
Clean.
Clean's important. That's like up in the top five for care. And that's important, of course. But the reputation of places, the hospitality or hospitableness of the place, it's an important aspect. Well, so all that to say this, just hold that in your mind. Seat time. We're driving down and we have Sirius on our radio. Sirius radio, you know, satellite radio. And I love the lineup on the Christian channels and got to listen to a lot of great speakers and pastors. And because I work, you know, working during the day, you can't hear this stuff. And I kept, it was strange, but I picked up on the fact that I was hearing a couple things repeatedly throughout the days we were traveling. And one of the words was hospitality. I'm going, wow, this is weird. This is strange. The other one was leaning into. I heard that word, leaning into, or lean not onto your understanding. There's a whole sermon on that in Acts, and it talks about, in Proverbs, where it talks about leaning into our situation and what we know, or what we don't know, in fact. And so all this was going on while we were staying at the hotels, dealing with my brother, confronting the family, you know, looking at the fact that this could be our last time together. And this is weighing deep on my spirit. And so if you put the first slide up, please. We're going to be in Proverbs 3. We're going to have a little verse right here. And then Romans 12. But this idea of hospitality, I think, is something that we need to pay attention to in a lot of ways. Not only in how we greet people when they come into our churches and our homes, but also how we reach out and evangelize new believers, the lost, but also how we disciple and raise up young new Christians. And if there's anything that I think our church today is failing at, is raising up people in the foundations of our faith. We are losing sight of the things that are key in our faith, the critical things, and we have people growing up and they're all over the place. That's why we have so many arguments about, is there multiple ways to heaven? God would not allow these terrible things to be happening. You know, we can, I don't want to offend you, so I'm not going to speak truth to you, but I will say, well, you know, whatever. There's so much stuff going on in our world because we've lost sight of the basics of our truth. So Titus has this saying right here. To the pure, all things are pure. What does that mean? I certainly would not qualify myself to say I'm pure, Kenny. The only pure person who ever existed was Jesus Christ. However, what that's talking about is to us as believers. We have connection to the purest being ever. And because of that, I know what is good. I know what is bad. I know what is healthy. I know what's evil. We just know that. I talk about our spidey senses. We know if we were to get a hotel in the wrong part of town, we might feel a little bit uncomfortable. We know by the outside appearances of things, and by appearances, we intuitively know in our senses when things are not right. We know when we walk into a bad situation with relationships or people or circumstances, when things are not right. We just innately know this. To the pure, all things are pure. We have been gifted as believers with the Holy Spirit. And I think another thing that we are lacking in is a focus on the power of the Holy Spirit and how much influence and teachings and learning we can learn from the Holy Spirit. So this weekend has been great. This weekend was a wonderful time to get away and spend time with my wife, to go spend time with my brother, sadly. But it was still good, but also to hear from God. And I think we all need to do that. We need to get away and turn the light out and go out and have moments where we have seat time and connect. So I have an illustration I want to share with you real quickly, and it talks about this idea of hospitality. A distinguished performing career virtuoso violinist. That was a mouthful. This guy knows his stuff. Jacques Heifetz accept an appointment as a professor of music at UCLA in California. Asked what had prompted his change of career, Heifetz replied, "Violin playing is a perishable art, as it must be passed on as a personal skill. Otherwise, it is lost. We need to listen to this great musician. Living the Christian life is a highly personal experience. We can't pull it off by merely watching the skilled veterans perform. It's a hands-on participation for everybody on board. We just can't stand by and let the paid guy or the guy with the diploma on the wall handle all the business. It's not the way God designed it. God, Jesus, before he left, didn't say, oh, only the pastors and the leaders get to do all this stuff. This is an all-hands-on thing. And so when we're discipling people, when we're evangelizing the lost, we're trying to be hospitable. We're all on deck. So, next slide, please. So let's read Proverbs 3. This is the thing, this is the leaning thing that got me when I was listening and I was hearing God speak to me. And it says this in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I could stop right there and we could have a sermon just on that one verse. That one sentence is so powerful because that's me. I want to do that. I want to lean on what I know. I want to lean on what I've experienced. I want to lean on what I've been educated in. I want to lean on my knowledge. But it doesn't say that. It says, trust in the Lord with all our heart. Marcia, it doesn't say a little bit. It says all your heart. In all your ways, there's that word all again, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. There's that leaning in thing again. That's what I heard repeatedly in so many messages while we were on the road. And then this hospitality thing, and then the circumstance with the hotels. And it kind of like all came together as I was talking. What does God say about what we should be doing to be hospitable? What does that mean? As churches, as our homes, as our families, as our work, wherever we're at, we're called to be hospitable. What does that mean? So let's look at what Scripture says. So if you have your book, your Bible, excuse me, open it up. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12. And Paul has this to say about believers. Chapter 12, starting in verse 13. Everybody there? Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. There's that word again. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with the people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, and I will repay, says the Lord. This leaning into thing was really kind of in the back of my mind. I'm thinking, God, are you trying to tell me something here? And really what it comes down to, what it basically came down to, he showed me the example of some hospitality examples in our living conditions, faced with the fact that I'm going to go talk to a brother who's dying, who doesn't know the Lord, and how am I going to talk to him? And I know some of us sitting here today are concerned with how do you talk to loved ones? How do you talk to others about Jesus? Some of you might even be a little bit nervous about doing that. They say that the hardest people to talk to about Jesus are our family, our closest family. Has anyone ever had that experience? You talk to somebody real close, it's struggle. It can be hard. And here I'm going to go drive down and visit my brother who's been told he's on hospice. I didn't know what to expect when we got there, but he's sharp as a tack. And we're talking about his mortality. We're going to talk about his life. Is he prepared? To say it was awkward was a little bit, it's the truth. It was, I've done this a lot with people who are facing the end of life situation. You know, I'm the professional guy. You know, I'm the one that's got the diploma that's been traditionally taught in how to do this. But I'm finding it very awkward and difficult with my brother for a lot of reasons. And I'm looking for that moment, waiting for God to say, talk and speak. And honestly, I didn't get a clear message. I don't believe it was time. I don't believe his heart was ready for that moment, but I did get a chance to share John 3:16 with him, and we also shared a tuna submarine, and he had a great time, and we fellowshiped with each other. And I think what I learned and what I was leaning on my own understanding thing and the connection there was, what I was called to do was to be hospitable with my brother, was to spend time with him, to have fellowship with him, to be normal with him. This is somebody who's facing the end of his life, his house has been sold, he had his dog there, his routine's gone, his health is failing, he's dependent totally on other people. Nothing's normal for him. Nothing is normal. And at a time when people are craving normalcy, the best thing we can do is be hospitable. We can be normal for them. We can bring reality for them, but we can love them. And we can just be normal with them. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. My teaching said, oh, you gotta give them the 4 points. Walk them down the Roman road. Nail it. Boom, 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 boom. My brother probably would have told me to get out. I don't know. And it wasn't that I was afraid to say anything, but the training I believe that we all need is that we need to wait for God. Not when you think I call it the green burrito prompting you, or your spidey senses. Wait for God to say it's time. He'll give you the words, he'll give you the opportunity, but wait for God. And I wasn't hearing that. My understanding and my own belief was I had to nail it. I was down there, I spent the money, we drove down there, the time, I got a substitute at school, everything was great. We're having a great time in the seat, talking, but I had to nail it. And I really was in a struggle. It wasn't comfortable, honestly. I'm a pastor. Isn't that expected of me? Shouldn't I walk in there and, you know, be above all this and have it be prepared, Paul, and just prompt, you know, right there. I was struggling. And again, what God put on my heart was don't lean on your own understanding. Be hospitable to your brother. This, my oldest brother, by the way, he's 16 years older than me. So when he was leaving from high school and he went through the Vietnam War and a few other things, you know, I was still running around, you know, playing kickball in the backyard kind of thing, you know, and we didn't connect real well. We connected a lot more afterwards. When I was stationed in California, he and his wife, first wife moved out there, or second wife moved out, excuse me, his first wife passed, he had a second wife. And they moved, we spent a lot of time together. We grew closer later in life than we ever did growing up. And we learned a lot of things about, he was the family historian. He's the guy that has the box of pictures, you know, and the autographs and the history and the letters and stuff. And he filled a lot of gaps in. So I was finding it difficult. I was like torn. There's the professional side of Pastor Rich. I'm supposed to be doing this stuff. And then there's the reality of my family. Struggling just and waiting for that moment. And so it became, again, obvious to me. God is saying something. Stop, Rich. Stop leaning on your own understanding and wait. Be hospitable. He gave me 3 clear examples in these hotels. That it's just real simple. Just be yourself. Be normal. So let's put this up here real quickly. There's 3 truths and questions in what Paul said that I want you to write down. The first is a statement, and then it should answer a question. If you are doing this right, if we have a heart of hospitality and we are raising up a new Christian and we're discipling them, or we're speaking to somebody who's a non-believer, this is the things that we ought to be talking about. And these are the truths and the questions here. First one, number one. According to Paul, we need to love. It's a kind of love that blesses felt needs of others. If we're truly being hospitable, if we're truly seeking after God's own heart, if we're seeking to have a relationship with somebody, am I meeting felt needs? Now, in Romans 12, it said very clearly that they were helping each other out. We know in Acts chapter 2 that the young Christians and the churches came together and they took care of each other's needs. Do you mean, Pastor Rich, you're saying I'm supposed to share my stuff? Is that what that means? Yes, it could be. Or in my case, our case, we're sharing time. We're sharing presence. We're sharing face-to-face time. We're so technology advanced that we are on our phones and Zoom meetings and whatever. But even at our dining tables, we talk on our phones to each other. We text each other. We're in cyberspace, and we're losing some of that familiar touch of reaching out and holding hands or just being in each other's presence. And so in my case, first one, love that blesses felt needs of others. The felt need, I believe, what God was showing me, just be yourself. Put the Bible down right now and just enjoy the moment. Hold his hand. We took a picture, put my arm around him, did a fist bump. We talked. We talked about how much, probably if there was 100% of the time that we talked, probably 50% of it was about restaurants and places we've eaten or we visited. He spent a lot of time in Europe. I was in Asia and the foods and that is kind of that common thing. But it was the old. It was familiar. When a person is facing their mortality, what do they want to talk about? What do they want to hear? What should you bring up? Of course, we could talk about wills. We could talk about, their property, all the things that they need to get rid of and all the problems. But it was like we talked about food. And there's nothing, bless you, there's nothing better than a bunch of Christians getting together and sharing a good potluck. And we could probably feed third world countries with what's left over. We get along with that hospitality aspect of sharing and breaking bread. And so we went out and got Al Jersey Mike's tuna sub with peppers on it and lots of onions, I think is what he said. And he scarfed that thing down. He loved it. I didn't get a chance to talk about the Romans Road. I didn't get a chance to talk about the 4 points of, salvation. But we shared a tuna sub together for the first time, and I was just being normal with him. So that was the first thing. So the question that this answers, if we're doing this correctly, where we're touching felt needs of people, it ought to answer this question. Are we being wise shepherds with God's resources? Remember, what you've got, what you've been given, was given to you by God. Everything, including your health, your relationships, your finances. Yes, even some of the issues that you're facing within life, the circumstances. However, are you being a good shepherd? Are you listening to what God's saying and how to use your time? To get off a Friday and a Monday as a teacher, it wasn't easy. I had to get a substitute and get all my lesson plans together and get all that stuff done. And Carrie's got her new job over at Tuscola and at the clinic and had to take time there. But you know what? Here's what I also believe. Where God leads, he provides. It all came together. We got the time off. We got the people in place. All the things, the details came, including the hotel on the first night in Knoxville, Tennessee, when we shouldn't have been able to find a room at the inn. It came together. And because we were following him and we were listening to him, he took care of it. Are we being wise shepherds with God's resources? Some people, it doesn't have to be end of life. It could be a lost person who needs some help. You know what's going on this week politically, right? You understand the SNAP benefits are going away or they've been put on hold. And there are people who are really fearful that they can't put food on the table. This is like church 101 here, isn't it, people? Isn't it ways that we can help the world around us? We have food pantries. We have opportunities to maybe help. We have opportunities to hear things in the community. How can we be more hospitable to the people that are in need? And if you think about all the times that Jesus talked with people in the Bible, he met them where their needs were first. He met with their personal needs, their relational needs, their healing needs, and then he spoke to them about their relationship with God. So similarly for my brother, the felt need that I believed, number one, was that I just need to be present for my brother. That was number one. And his felt need was just to have relationship and connection with me. This is scary for people facing the end of their life. They don't know Jesus. I mean, I've been a Christian long enough. I can't fathom what that's like. But stop and imagine if you don't have God. What are you thinking about when you've been told that question? You're on hospice. There's nothing more that we can do for you. And it's just a matter of time. In this case, God's resources that he had given me was he gave me time. He gave me opportunity. He gave me the resources to drive down there, be with my wife, and we got to hang out. We haven't done that. Well, last time I went down there with Tommy, a year and a half ago before that. So this might be the last time. This might very well be the last time that I got to see my brother in person. Some of us in this room would love to have that opportunity for a relationship that we've lost, that we couldn't do anything about. We had a person at our school, a parent pass from an accident. The two people down in Coles County were just driving home, and their lives, they're killed instantly. We don't know when that moment happens, do we? My brother has a little bit of time. And I'm glad that God was able to help us make that time to be with him. The second question that Romans talks about, or second fact, love that blesses those. If we're really being hospitable, it's demonstrating a love that blesses those who persecute us. Now, my brother is not persecuting me. But I've also heard him joke about Christians. I've also heard him talk about he doesn't need God. You know, that's for those religious people, those church people. In a form, that's the kind of persecution we get in our country. In other countries, they shoot them, they behead them, they kill them. Nigeria is having huge swaths of Christians and churches being destroyed because of their faith. And Paul's telling us, if you're really being hospitable, and if you're really reaching out, you're going to love those that persecute you. Wow. What? You mean I'm not supposed to run the other way? You mean I'm not? There's that verse about turning your cheek thing again. Oh, gosh. Really, God? So I'm going to go there and talk to my brother about Jesus, and he might tell me to get out of his house. After I spent all this time and this effort to get here, he might tell me to go, bug off. That's a form of persecution. That's a form of refusal. It's a rejection. We are afraid as Christians to speak truth to people because we're afraid we're going to be rejected. Really? I'm more afraid of facing God one day and him looking me in the face and saying, why didn't you do what I asked you to do? That's what I'm more afraid of. People, you will be persecuted. You'll face persecution. And if there's anything we know, it's only going to get worse. It's going to get worse. So it ought to answer that question. If you're doing this part correctly, if you're blessing those who persecute us, it ought to answer this question. Go ahead. Does the blessing keep us from cursing? You ever had somebody make you mad? I know where I'm going with this one. Carrie's smiling. All I got to do is drive in champagne. It happened. And you know what I found out? There are champagne drivers in Knoxville, Tennessee. There are champagne drivers in Asheville, North Carolina. They're everywhere. Crazy drivers are not, just in central Illinois. And when you're on the freeway, when you're driving long hours, you see all kinds of craziness. Oh, my gosh. When my mind was on God and my mind is doing the things that he wants me to do when I'm spending time with my brother, I could those that are making me mad, that are calling me out, I could curse them. I, I, I'm being honest here, transparent. There's been a few times certain words have slipped from my lips when I've been cut off. Forgive me, God, I understand. Does the blessing that we're doing for others, is it keeping us from cursing those very same people? If we're doing this correctly, if we're being hospitable, if we're reaching out to the lost, you're going to face persecution, you're going to face ridicule, you're going to face condemnation, you're going to be called all kinds of things. But are you loving them? Are you doing what you're called to do? And if we're doing it right, we're not cursing them. Oh, gosh. Number three, the third truth in the question is this. If we're doing the hospitality part correctly, it's a kind of love that blesses for all ranges of grace needed. Carrie has a saying that she likes to say. Carrie, can I ask you about what you...
I think you're going to anyway.
No, I'm going to ask you. Could you please? What do you say about the hardest people to love? You know that saying? Or who's the easiest to love? There you go. I knew I'd get it out of her one way or the other. It's easy to love other Christians. It's easy to love you guys. I mean, we're all on the same team, aren't we? Aren't we? Until things hit the fan and we got problems and then we start to find out there's differences. It's easy to love somebody who walks up to you and says, hey, I'm a brother and sister in Christ. I go to your church. I'm on the same tribe that you are. What if they believe differently than you? They read a different version of the Bible. They have a different looking building. They have different practices. It's easy to love those that agree with us also, you know, that go along with what I think is right. You're going to run into people that don't agree with you if you're speaking truth to them, because you're speaking God's truth. And it's not judgmental or condemnation. You're speaking God's truth. There are some people that need a lot of grace. Amen? I bet you if I just ask that question, you could probably rattle off in your... Don't say them. Just think them. You probably can come up with a top three list real fast. Boom, boom, boom. They need a lot of grace. Maybe it's the top five. I don't know. But then there's people that you don't even want to go talk to because you think they've got it all together. And they're just swimming. They're fine. They're fine and dandy. Those are easy to take care of. Those are easy to associate with and to hang out with. It needs a wide range. So it ought to answer this question. The third one, in fact, ought to prove this. Are we willing to go deep and wide to share Christ? Now, what do I mean by deep and wide? Some people, it might take more time. That's what I mean by going deep. It's not going to happen in one visit. It's not going to happen in one weekend in North Carolina. It's going to take some time. And I have to let God do his thing and get out of the way. It's going to maybe be more visits. It's going to be more time away from my job. It could be more phone calls, odd hours of the day. How much time do I believe I need to give? And that's actually the wrong question, right? The real question is, God, how much time do you want me to spend? Because, again, where he leads, he'll provide. If he's saying, Rich, I want you to go back down there again in 2 weeks, he puts it in my heart, and I know that we got to figure something, plan A, plan B out. We got to do something. Am I asking the right questions? The wide part is this. Maybe I need to include others. Maybe I need to bring some other people in. Maybe I need to think about some other opportunities. Maybe I need to go not only go hang out with them, but I need to bring in opportunities for them to join us and invite them. So, to our church, for example. So the outreach the other night. We did that not thinking that we're going to necessarily bring kids into the church or families in the church, but we gave them the opportunity. They know who we are. We do VBS every summer. And we got kids coming from all around. We have a youth group that draws from 8 different churches in the area, and they come here every Wednesday. 7 churches?
Sunday.
We do that not because we are God. We're doing it because we're being compelled by God to reach out, to spend time, to create opportunities, to share the good news. So, it's love that blesses the felt needs of others, love that blesses those who persecute us and who don't like us, and then love that blesses all those wide ranges of grace. If you could just take a pause for a moment. Remember I asked you that question about we leave the light on, the marketing aspect? Think of how much the marketing stuff of the hotels and the businesses use this kind of logic and thinking in all their marketing schemes. So the first one, love that blesses the felt, we're going to make you breakfast in the morning. We're going to provide free breakfast, or it's included in the cost. We're going to provide house cleaning. We got ice machines down the end of the hallway. The rooms are warm and comfy. Oh, by the way, you want air conditioning? You got air conditioning. You want movies on your... They're taking care of felt needs. They want people to feel comfortable on the road. Number two, how many of us have been somewhere and somebody's a little unhappy with their rooms? Maybe they're unhappy with their credit card got failed, or people are angry. And people who are traveling are not necessarily the most content people at the time. They're busy. There's stuff going on, and sometimes their patience is low. Those people who work behind the counters put up with a lot of stuff. What, you mean my room's not ready? The day we were leaving, wasn't it? The day we were leaving. A woman came in. This is Monday morning. It was like 9 o'clock. 10 o'clock?
Somewhere in there.
Yeah. She was trying to check in. Now, you might say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, early check-in is 11 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
Oh, 1 o'clock, sorry.
They were very early.
They were not only very early, but she was saying, well, I did this online. Well, yeah, but that's third party. There's a whole world out here I didn't even know existed about third parties and doing things online. This person behind the counter was getting accused, confronted, persecuted, and she's just trying to do their job. There are people that come into the hotel's world at all different hours of the night, all different styles of dress, attire. Some people bring their pets. We heard all kinds of noises at night. Those walls are thin in those hotels. There's people in the parking lot putting loud music on, and it wasn't that bad. But those noises, those things, when you're trying to go somewhere and be comforted and rest and relax, those little things right there just kind of, it's unsettling. And some of these people, you know, do you call the police on them? You hear an argument? Do you call the front office? I forget what trip we were on. We were somewhere, and they had a youth group or something going through there. And these kids are running up and down the hallways, banging on doors. And you could, you know, those floors in those hotels aren't very strong. And you could feel the bounces literally as they were bouncing down the hallway. And I know Carrie said, Rich, just chill. It's okay. They're just kids. Let it go. There's people who need grace in our lives. And when you're talking to them about Jesus, what do they want to hear? They need grace and mercy. They need to understand that you're not condemning them or judging them. My brother, for all his life, he's been the number one guy. He's been the top dog. And if I started talking about Jesus, I'm sure he probably would have push back hard. Rich, are you judging me? I've heard it before. I've heard it in this past. This is not the first time I've tried this. I've also heard it in people that I'm discipling, brand new Christians. How much time am I willing to spend with them, and how wide am I, the opportunities? Give them opportunities to try something new in the church. How far am I willing to go? How wide? How deep? If we're truly exercising that kind of hospitality in our discipleship to believers or the lost, we ought to be following these examples. We ought to be answering these questions. Are we really having the impact that we need? So as I sat there with my brother, I remember I just asked him. I finally got to a place. The question I asked him was this: are you ready? That's all I said. That's all I asked him. And he said, what do you mean? I've got my will. See, I knew where he was going to go. I got my will taken care of. I said, that's not what I'm talking about. And then I remembered my other brother had told me that a priest had come and seen him. We were raised Catholic and Jewish. Remember that whole story about my past? So a priest came and talked to him from the hospice, from the care facility. He didn't want to go there. He didn't even want to go there. And I could just feel it. It just wasn't ready. It wasn't time. So even while I felt I was there on a mission, God had a bigger mission. And I need to let him do God things and me be obedient and submit. And so while I asked him the question, are you ready? I was able to plant some seeds. I was able to just be there for him and have relationship with my brother, maybe for the first time, as deep as we could at that moment. I might not have another time ever to do this. I might never ever have another opportunity to go see him face to face, but God made it happen. And I had to listen for God and not be my own understanding, my own stuff. So let's put this next slide up. Let me read this to you real quick. At the close of life, the question will not be, how much have you gotten? But how much have you given? Not how much have you won, but how much have you done? Not how much have you saved, but how much have you sacrificed? It will be how much have you loved and served, not how much you are honored. This time for my brother, this time for many of us, when we get a chance to speak truth into people's lives, we need to stop and be hospitable. We need to be that little bell on the counter. When people are ringing the bell and they need hope, they need connections, they need relationship, we need to have the lights on. And that light needs to be Jesus, not us. Not my understanding, not what I think is right, not what I think he needs to hear. That's arrogance. It would have been arrogant of me to come in there and say, here's the 4 points of salvation, and here's the Roman road. That wasn't the point. Now, do I feel like I missed an opportunity? No. Because I feel like I was walking with God in this moment. And God will provide, if not me, somebody else. I would have loved to have been honored to say I led my brother to Christ. But we all have to stop thinking that it's only solely up to us. We need to do our part. We need to let God do his part. And maybe there's somebody else. Maybe it's somebody that we don't even know yet. He's going to come up and talk to my brother. And then I'll call it closing the deal. They'll speak the peace that gets him across the line. And that's my prayer. I need to be settled and understand that that's maybe the best I can do. It's not on me. It's on God. And that's what we need to let God do his thing. So here's your challenge this week. Am I doing all that I can? Am I doing all that I can to disciple new Christians and reaching the lost? And that's different for all of us. There's nothing different for the leaders, for the pastor, if you're just a member, if you're a visitor, if you're even a new believer. New believers have some of the greatest opportunities to evangelize of all people. Because people are going to look at you and go, what got into you? Why are you different all of a sudden? That gives you a great opportunity to speak about Jesus and the changes that are going on in your life. At that moment with my brother, I needed to practice hospitality. And I think, as Paul said very clearly in verse 13, be hospitable. And I think it's a dying art. I think it's something that we need to teach more in our churches. We're good at it at our own individual levels. We welcome people into our homes. We invite people to dinner. We have outreach opportunities. But as a church, what could we be doing different? What could we be doing different to reach the lost? What can we be doing different to disciple new believers? And I think the challenge is for all of us to be more hospitable. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. I thank you for your truth. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that you gave Carrie and I to go visit my brother last week. And that challenge that I felt in my spirit that I had to do something when really what I needed to do was just be there with him. And Father, that's okay. And I know you're a big God. Why do I want to assume and be arrogant to think that I had this all figured out? That I had a plan, that it was going to be my way. Lord, we just need to stop and just let you do the things you do, and you do it so well. Some of us have people in our lives, Lord, that are brand new believers, and they're searching for growth and opportunities. We need to just reach out and love on them. There are people around us that in our families and our work, that places where we visit, that don't know you and don't know your son. And we need to find those and be obedient and listen for those opportunities to speak truth. Lord, I think we need to practice hospitality better, not only just at our homes, but wherever we are. Love people where they're at. Extend the grace and mercy. Love those that persecute us. Lord, we love you. We love you, and we love your son. We love the hope that he brings. We love the care and the provision that you provide. Lord, we love you with all our heart and all our soul. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.